Well, and welcome to another broadcast. We are in Genesis chapter 45, verse number 21. Have your Bible ready if you can. Broadcast, we saw that Joseph revealed himself to his brothers after their genuine repentance, and that, of course, is exactly what happens in the plan of salvation. And then we read that they're going to move the family back, so Joseph gives them a bunch of wagons to move everything back. We're reading in verse number 21, it says, "And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provision for the way. To all of them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, and 10 she asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father." By the way, some interesting things happening here. First of all, it says Joseph gave them wagons. You can see the command going out to those who are under Joseph and saying, get these wagons ready. How many of them? We don't know. A lot of them were going to be moving 70 people and all of their belongings that they're going to bring back here into Egypt, into the part of Egypt that is called Goshen. Well, he gave them wagons. Then it says he gave them provisions for the way. That's the second time we read that he gave them something, provisions for the way. God is going to take care of all the provisions that we need for the way. The way, we read in the Old Testament, and they got out there in the wilderness, they were discouraged because of the way. And the way can be discouraging sometimes, but God says, I'll supply all your needs. In verse 22, it says, to all of them, he gave each man changes of raiment. So he gave them wagons. He gave them provisions. He gave them raiment. And then it says to Benjamin, he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiments. The lesson here is the close relationship that Benjamin had with Joseph. And the closer relationship we have as believers, the more blessings we are going to receive. It's just that simple. All of these people were part of the same family. Benjamin was close to Joseph. The best thing to do is to be close to the Lord. Joseph had said, you remember in a previous broadcast, when he was making himself known unto his brothers, he said, come close to me. Well, in verse 23, we see to his father, he sent after this manner 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, and 10 she asses, and bread and meat for his father. By the way, so we have a lot of wagons, we have a lot of people heading back. No doubt Joseph has sent some people to help along with all of this coming back to get them, to bring them to Egypt. It must have been making quite a fuss. If they were coming through our town, we'd have the television cameras running. What is going on here? Well, there's something going on. God is working here, and he's working in a marvelous way. Well, we get to verse 24. It says, so he sent his brethren away, and they departed, and he said unto them, see that ye fall not out by the way. Now, some interesting things here, too. He sent his brethren. You remember that Joseph is a type of Christ, and he has sent us, he has given us a responsibility, and he says, see that you fall not out by the way. Get on with the things that we're supposed to be doing here. God has a plan, and God has a plan for everyone listening to my voice right now. And what we need to do is realize we've been sent for something in God's program in this age in which we are living, and we need to see that we fall not out by the way. Well, one thing too is certain, that these brothers, they've just had a great spirit of revival at this time, and you can be sure that after a blessing like that, Satan will attack. So he said, you need to be on guard. Don't fall out by the way. You're going to have trouble from the devil. And they needed to also put their evil deeds behind them and be careful not to be getting involved in the blame game as they travel back home. They had a lot of time to talk. Never mind who's responsible for selling Joseph into slavery and who's this and who's that. Watch out for that. We need to just get back there and rejoice in what God is doing. And the other thing is that they would need to tell Jacob, their father, about how they deceived him. Because when they sold Joseph into Egypt, we read in verse 27 that they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. Now, when he came, they came back and told him all the words of Joseph, those words included, now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. Since they told Jacob all the words of Joseph, they would have to tell Jacob about deceiving him concerning Joseph and saying that an animal had killed him when in fact they had sold him into slavery. Well, they came back with their story, and we read in verse number 25 and 26 that Jacob just didn't believe them. It says, they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. Now, you can only imagine what they talked about on that trip all the way back, 200, 250 miles coming back from Egypt. They had a lot of time to talk, maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks getting back home. However, when they reached home, we read they went straight to their father, and I'm sure we have all done the same thing. What an exciting story to tell. They said, Joseph is yet alive. He's the governor over all the land of Egypt. Now, that story coming from someone who was trustworthy would be difficult to believe. How much more unbelievable would it be coming from these deceiving sons of Jacob? And we read that Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. Well, 27, again, it says, they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. Then it says in 27, when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived, and Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. Now notice there's a lot of interesting things in this little verse. They told him all the words of Joseph. Now, he didn't believe them, but when he saw the wagons, he saw the wagons. So it's obvious that the men had run ahead of these wagons when they were getting closer to home, and they said Joseph is alive, and they're all excited about that. He didn't believe them at the beginning, but it says when he saw them, all those wagons coming, you can imagine, they're living in a famine. People are about to starve to death, and all of a sudden, all those special gifts that Joseph has sent for his father and all those camels and all those donkeys coming in with all those things laden for them. I'm sure that would get his attention. He saw them all coming in the distance, and we read he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, and the spirit of their father Israel revived, and Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is alive. I will go and see him before I die. Now notice also in these two verses we have him called Jacob and we have him called Israel, all in the same portion of scripture here. It says that when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived, and Israel, that's the same man, said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is alive. I will go and see him before I die. Now, we've said many times during this series that Jacob is a type of the Christian with the old nature and the new nature. When we get saved, we have the old nature. Paul the Apostle says, oh, the things that I don't want to do, I do, and things I want to do, I don't do. Oh, wretched man, who shall deliver me from this old nature he was talking about? But we also have a new nature. And so Jacob, that's the old nature. He was a schemer. He was always trying to do things his way. And then he's in the very next verse, he's called Israel. That's referring to him as a Christian or a believer with the new nature. And so as the spirit of Jacob, that whole nature, it needed some reviving. He's, man, I need to get back in communication with God, because he really hasn't been, as we've seen in the previous chapters here, he hasn't been very close to God. Well, this is changing now, and it says Israel, that's the new nature of the man. It's enough. Joseph, my son, is alive. And so we have him getting in touch with God, and we see in the next verses there is a renewed communication with God. It says here in chapter 46 and verse 1, and Israel, now that's Jacob, but this is the part that's in touch with God. Remember, he changed his name. Israel took his journey. Yes, that's what it's all about. With all that he had, and he came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. Now there's the old nature. He said, here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. And I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again, and Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. Well, here he was at Beersheba. And Beersheba, that's where Jacob, you remember, had wrestled with God, and now he's back to that spot. He's back at Beersheba. And once again, we see here that as a result of repentance and revival, the result of that is always a return of communication from God. And so he is talking to him now. He's in touch with God. They have a new communication with each other, for that matter. And here Jacob received a confirmation from God concerning him going into Egypt. Now from verses 5 to 27, we have a complete list of all of those who took this very important journey. And we see in verse 9, the sons of Reuben, 10, the sons of Simeon, go down through here. You see the sons of all of these people. It lists them right down through to 27. And it says that the souls of the house of Jacob, which came into Egypt, were 70. Now, all the way back in Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 2, God had promised Abraham to make him a great nation. It was now 215 years since he received that promise, and the total number of his descendants at this time was only 70 people. Now, we've said before, God is never in a hurry, but he is never late. They will be in Egypt for 430 years, at which time millions of them will leave for the promised land. God's going to do what he's going to do, and he's going to do it in his own good time. We get impatient. We want him to do what he's going to do in our good time. No, God said, I'll take care of it. Just relax. Well, verse number 28, and he sent Judah before him unto Joseph to direct his face into Goshen, and they came into the land of Goshen. Now, it's very important to understand that Jacob's descendants went to Goshen. Why? First of all, it was God's way of keeping them separate from the influence of Egypt as they became a nation. Second, it was the best land available, and God always blesses his sincere followers with the best of the blessings, that's for sure. Another reason for God's people to be separate from the Egyptians is found in Genesis 46 and verse 34, where it says that every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. You remember when Jacob's descendants left for Egypt, it is interesting to note that it says they took their cattle and their goods, which they had gotten in the land of Canaan, and came into Egypt. In Genesis 46:34, Joseph told them to put the emphasis on the cattle they had rather than on the sheep. He said, ye shall say, thy servant's trade hath been about cattle, even from our youth, even until now, both we and also our fathers, that ye may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. Well, in verse number 29 through 34, we have a beautiful story where Joseph went to meet his father. And it says in 29, Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel, his father, to Goshen, and presented himself unto him and fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. What a tremendous thing where father and son get back together after 22 years.
I just keep trusting my Lord. Lord as I walk along. I just keep trusting my Lord, and He gives a song. Though the storm clouds darken the sky or the heavenly trail, I just keep trusting my Lord. He will never fail. He's a faithful friend, such a faithful friend. I can count on Him to the very end. Though the storm clouds darken the sky or the heavenly trail, I just keep trusting my Lord. He will never fail. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Heaven and earth may pass away, just keep trusting your Lord as you walk along. Just keep on trusting your Lord, and He'll give a song. Though the storm clouds darken the sky or the heavenly trail, keep right on trusting your Lord. He will a faithful friend, such a faithful friend. You can count on Him to the very end. Though the storm clouds darken the sky or the heavenly trail, just keep on trusting your Lord. He will